Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It is, as always, a pleasure to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. I'll give our contact information, and then we'll go right to our callers on the web, equip.org. Via the mail, it's Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000. And the letter CRI, a lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our callers, Aliza, first in Lake Ozark, Missouri. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, and it's great to talk to you.
Well, thank you for answering my call. I have a question about false teachers. I recently found out that a pastor in our area, who is the pastor of a Disciples of Christ church, does not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He doesn't believe in the Trinity or in the virgin birth. When I asked him who he believed Jesus was, he said he was a very good man, a very wise man that had a close relationship with God. And when talking to another person in the church, they had said to me that because he has not taught this in the church, and that he has not said those things in the church, that he would not be qualified as a false teacher. And I guess I wanted your perspective on that and how that works.
Well, he is a false teacher because he's made his views known upon inquiry. This is what he said. And this is essentially undermining the essential of essentials with respect to the historic Christian faith. Jesus asked the mother of all questions, "Who do you say that I am?" And if you answer that Jesus Christ is but a good man, a good teacher, but not God, what you have done is undermined who Jesus Christ himself said he was. He said, "I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen God." Not only that, but the Bible's very, very clear in many different places. I think of John chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, or even this famous passage, Colossians chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or rulers or powers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, you can't have a stronger statement about the deity of Jesus Christ. Not only that, but the very works of Christ during his earthly ministry attest to the fact that he is, in fact, God in human flesh. He had the power to do miracles that no human being could do in and of themselves. He had the power to lay down his life and take it up again, thereby demonstrating that he is God. And this is another thing that the pastor is denying, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, how central is the resurrection? Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and your preaching is worthless. And even those now who have died are lost. They have no hope of being resurrected. So if, in fact, there is no resurrection, what does Paul say? Eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you die. In other words, grab for all the gusto, because in this worldview, the worldview of the pastor, this is all there is. And in terms of the virgin birth is an essential of the historic Christian faith. We believe it because the Bible teaches it, and the Bible can be demonstrated to be divine as opposed to merely human in origin. So the pastor has denied the very heart of Christianity and therefore is legitimately designated a false teacher.
Hank, one last question. So knowing this, is it in my, for lack of a better word, right to point this out to other people in the church, or am I in the wrong to do that?
No, I think that you are on the right to point out that this is a pastor who denies the essentials of the historic Christian faith and therefore is not a pastor of sheep, but rather is a wolf in the sheep pen.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
You got it. I mean, look, we have to hold fast to the essentials of the historic Christian faith. Why? Because on the essentials rests the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the North Star by which the Christian church sets its sail. And this is the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of world religion and cults. So this is not a trifling matter. This is a matter that strikes to the very heart of Christianity. This doesn't mean that you have to treat someone unkindly, but when someone puts themselves in a position of leadership in a, quote, Christian church and denies the essentials of what is Christianity, then that person is no longer fit for the service of the king. And what they will do is they will fleece the flock, certainly from a spiritual standpoint.
Hmm. Okay.
Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Ladin in Germantown, Tennessee. Hi.
Hank, it is an honor to speak with you. You have been a blessing to myself and my wife for many, many years, and I just want to thank you for this wonderful show that you have each day.
Well, thank you. It's a privilege for me, and it's great to talk to you.
Yes, sir. Hank, there's a scripture, Ephesians 5 and 19, where the Bible talks about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This scripture has stumped me over the years because it's difficult for me to differentiate between the three. And so I'm hoping you can give an enlightenment as to the definition of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in the context in which scripture is using them.
Sure. Yeah. Singing psalms is a magnificent means for intercession, instruction, and the internalization of the Word of God because the psalms are in the Word of God. And then you have the great hymns of the faith. They have stood the test of time. They're rich in theological tradition and truth. A mighty fortress is our God comes to mind. So these are hymns that have been sung through the ages and have deep meaning, and they were written by people who had a depth of faith, a depth of spiritual grounding, biblical acumen, and the like. So you have the psalms that come directly from the Word of God and great hymns of the faith by men and women who were raised up by God to write these wonderful hymns. But also we have spiritual songs, which in turn communicate the freshness of our faith. So it's crucial that we preserve both a respect for our spiritual heritage as well as a regard for contemporary compositions. The one thing I always say is we have to be wary of some of the newer compositions. And the reason is there are many people today writing spiritual songs who are not grounded in the scriptures, grounded in the faith. So you have to be wary and you have to be discerning. Obviously, there are benefits for worship choruses, but so often they tend to reflect values of popular culture rather than Christian principle. And so they shouldn't be bought into unquestioningly because there's so much going on in our culture that it has to do with instant gratification, intellectual impatience, ahistorical immediacy, incessant novelty, and the like. So the lack of intellectual rigor often causes, as has been well said, the newer spiritual songwriters to give an immature exposition of biblical doctrine or an immature exposition of the Christian faith. So again, hymns are great because they've withstood the test of time. psalms come directly from Scripture, and spiritual songs can be wonderful, but again, should be tested because of the fact that so often they reflect the culture rather than Christian value.
So we would be correct in assuming that the spiritual songs are actually altered by the individual themselves, maybe as a result of prayer and fasting or what have you.
Well, sure, and the hymns of the faith as well. But again, the difference between the spiritual songs that reveal the freshness of our faith and great hymns of the faith is the hymns of the faith have withstood the test of time. So they have undergone the searchlight, as it were, of scrutiny from a theological perspective. And oftentimes, spiritual songs that are new and catchy and all of that, we buy into uncritically. So there's nothing wrong with it as long as we discern what we're singing.
Hey, thank you very much, and may God continue to bless you.
You as well, and coming up to a station break, we'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
One of the biggest mistakes people make is assuming that totalitarianism can't happen in their own country. Many American Christians are making that very mistake today, sleepwalking through the erosion of our freedoms. The new book, Live Not by Lies by Rod Dreher, will snap you out of the slumber and equip you for the long resistance. To receive your copy of Live Not by Lies, a manual for Christian dissidents, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Rod, listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Rod.
Good afternoon, Hank, and thank you for your ministry, and God blessings to you and your family.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
My question is this, and it's just a curiosity question. When we have resurrected bodies, why do you think God would have made the perfect bodies for both those destined for heaven and those destined for hell? For example, why didn't Hitler just have to deal with his denture problem in hell?
Well, the fact of the matter is, you're making a very good point to recognize that all will be resurrected. Jesus said that very thing, "Do not be amazed at this, a time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned." But we also have to recognize that the hell of the damned is not equal, which is to say there are degrees of reward in heaven, just as there are degrees of punishment in hell. And we can assume safely that, to recapitulate the example you just brought up, Hitler, that Hitler's hell is going to be a horror that exceeds that of a garden variety pagan. So the important thing to recognize is that God's punishments will be just, and that he will suffer justly and condignly for what he did while he was in the flesh.
Excellent. Thank you, Hank, and God's blessings.
God's blessings to you as well. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Joseph next in Bakersfield, California. Hi, Joseph.
Hey, Hank. Thank you for your ministry. It's really beautiful and it glorifies God. Hank, my question is, well, a few days ago, I had an encounter with an elderly woman at Costco, and I tried witnessing to her, asking her about Jesus. And she said, well, yes, I'm a Christian, but she said it in a way that it seemed to me that she was just saying it for me to leave her alone. And so as a way to counter this, I came up with the idea to ask somebody, you know, who is Jesus to you? And I guess that's not exactly what I asked her, but my point is, after I asked her, she had this look on her face that just like she saw somebody get stabbed. And I realized I made a horrible mistake, and I prayed for her. I didn't get the chance to apologize because we were leaving, but my question is, how far can we go in when we're witnessing to someone, when we're asking them about Jesus? Where do we draw the line?
Sure. Well, I think it's really important for us to be equipped Christians. And so the essence of the matter is not as much evangelism as it is equipping for evangelism. So if you're prepared to always give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect, God will give you lots of opportunities to witness. Thus, we do not have to run around frantically in department stores or grocery stores or anywhere else, grabbing people by the lapels and saying, brother, are you saved? Or sister, are you saved? We simply need to be equipped believers, ready always. And so when God gives us the opportunity, we can then use that opportunity in a very effective way to take objections or questions and use them as springboards for sharing the grace and truth and life that only Jesus Christ brings to the human heart. Now, God may have sovereignly led you to do what you did, and you don't know what the outcome of that will be. Maybe the outcome of that in your mind right now was not very good. But perhaps you did plant a seed by God's grace that someone else will water and God will give the increase. I've told this story before on air, but it's a story that's always stuck with me, a Jehovah's Witness that I thought, this person no one will ever reach. I tried over and over again, but always rebuffed and resisted. And a number of years after I had had my last witnessing encounter with this Jehovah's Witness, I was doing a seminar in a church. And lo and behold, the Jehovah's Witness came up to me, now a Christian, And he told me that he was teaching other Christians how to reach the witnesses. So I didn't reach him. In fact, I was, by any standard, an abysmal failure. But I had planted a seed, and someone else had watered the seed, and God had given the increase, and this person had come to faith in Christ. So who knows how God can use your faithfulness. But again, I think the real emphasis of the matter has to be on being an equipped Christian, and then God will give you many opportunities to share your faith, and ultimately the Holy Spirit changes the heart. That's His province, not yours.
Thank you, Hank. God bless you for your ministry. Thank you, and I'm praying for you guys. God bless you.
God bless you, and your prayers are so deeply appreciated. We are so dependent on the prayers of people. So often I ask people to support this ministry. It's important. The gospel is free. As I say, someone has to put in the plumbing. But prayer is firing the winning shot. So thank you for praying for us. And for those that can tangibly support us, please do. We need people to stand shoulder to shoulder with us financially as well as prayerfully. When you do, be pleased to send you one of two resources. You can find them on the web. They're fantastic resources that I've picked out especially for you. You can check those resources out, available for your gift on the web, equip.org. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Tammy. She's listening in Lancaster, Ohio. And hi, Tammy.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
When I'm reading the Bible, there's a lot of times I just have problems understanding. And I just want to know if you have a title of a book that I could get where I could understand the scriptures better.
Yeah, you know, I actually wrote a book for that very reason. The book is titled, Has God Spoken? And the question is answered in the affirmative. Yes, God has spoken. The Bible is His word to us. And it teaches you that you can know for certain that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin. But there's a second question that's answered in the book, and that is, if God has spoken, what has God said? Which entails how to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. I like to say how to mine the Bible for all its wealth. So that's the art and science of biblical interpretation. The second half of the book deals with that very issue. So I think that book, Has God Spoken?, which is a very, very significant writing from my perspective. It's one of the most important things I've ever written. I think that book would be most helpful to you.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah, I'm a monthly contributor, and I just love your show. I've learned a lot from you.
Well, Tammy, thank you so much for the encouragement. And if you can hang on for a moment, we can get the book out to you.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Preston, listening in Olathe, Kansas. Hi.
Hi. I've been reading up on preterism, and it seems to make a lot of sense. There's just one thing that I'm struggling with answering. I grew up with a heavy dispensational eschatology, so always looking for revelation being in the future. So when I look at preterism, I don't know how to address the future. Is there any scripture or anything that relates to what we can expect in the future? And what are we in right now? Is it the kingdom, millennial, or how would you address that?
Sure. Well, preterism comes from the Latin word that has to do with past. And the view is that there are two basic preterists, which is to say there are partial preterists and there are hyper preterists. The partial preterist is a person that lies within the pale of Orthodox Christian theology in that they postulate that the bodily return of Christ, the bodily resurrection of the dead, the final resolution of sin is all yet future. However, hyper-preterism is, I think, a heretical idea because it presumes that all prophecy, including the second coming of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Christians, has been fulfilled. It's already done. And therefore, I wouldn't hold to hyper-preterism. I also, personally, am not a partial preterist, but it is not that I do not appreciate partial preterists. It's simply that I think that they make the same mistake that futurists make, only with a history book in hand as opposed to a newspaper in hand. So I have some disagreements, although I've had many partial preterists in interviews on the broadcast that I very much respect. So these would be differences that we could debate vigorously, not divide over. So again, just to be clear, Hyper-preterism, from my perspective, is clearly heretical. Partial preterism is clearly acceptable within the pale of orthodoxy. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Please pray for us as we pray for you, and stand with us shoulder to shoulder, will you, in the battle for life and truth. You can do so prayerfully and financially. When you do, be pleased to send you our resource of the month. You can find the two I've picked out for this month on the web, equip.org. And when you join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to send you a personalized copy of the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth, because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.